Hello, how are we? It's back. That's right. It's back. Oh, God help us all. Welcome to ABW Live again, guys. New season. Here we go. Today, I have Aussie Dom. Say hello, Aussie Dom.
Hello, Aussie Dom.
I love it when you do that. And John Welsh, let me say hello, John.
All right, Jace. How you doing, mate?
Oh, I'm over the moon. Over the moon, mate. You know, the new season has started and here we go again. Quick couple of shout-outs to the guys in the chat box. Lazy Python is there first. MSH1411, Thunder Road, Johnny Maverick, Lambs. Oh, Danny's there. Stan the Man 450's there. Who else? Hassan Ramzan's there. Lazy Python, K-Man 1867, Christian Andreasen. Oh, El Ledifi Dimfi. Oh, jeepers. I can't pronounce that. I don't, but I'm sorry. King for the Day and 235100. The McManus, Phil Weaver, Mr. Devil's Advocate, Daz316. Oh, they're all there. Hiya. How are we all? It's back. Corey Austin's there. Hi, Corey. Good t-shirt going to trade it to you. Yeah, we're back. And we had Man City first game of the season. John, were you surprised by Guendouzi starting?
I was a little bit. We talked about it before the game, and I was talking about it on Twitter as well with a few people last night and today. And I just thought, not that I don't rate the guy, and you know he had a very good pre-season, but I thought Torreira maybe comes straight in with Xhaka and Ramsey. I know some people said, well, they haven't had enough pre-season minutes, but you look at other players who went to the World Cup, came back the same time or later, and they went straight into their team. So I thought he might, you know, be on the bench, Guendouzi, but I was surprised to see him start. But fair play, I thought he was probably one of our better players today. A few mistakes, you know, and I said about it in the tweet as well. I said I was a little bit nervous because I thought sometimes his awareness on the ball in pre-season was a little bit off and that kind of thing. But yeah, surprised to see him start, but to be honest, the way Emery's kept using him pre-season, put him in for this game, and the way he performed today, it looks like he might, you know, be a firm, solid starter for us going forwards.
I've got to be honest here. I really enjoyed his performance. Yes, you know, you've got the mistakes of youth there. There's no getting away from that. But I thought he absolutely embarrassed Xhaka with his attitude, with his movement, with his desire. More than anything else. Dom, come in on that. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, it's interesting you bring up Xhaka, Jace. I think I'm with you on that one. If you're picking a team for next week against Chelsea, I would definitely be picking the kid over Xhaka after today's performance. I just felt there was definitely a couple of moments where, like you said, the inexperience kind of let him down a little bit. But he had some amazing moments in the game too. He was just, he was very, very at it, wasn't he? Like you said, with his attitude, but also his positioning with his body, I thought was very, very good too. You know, trying to shield the player from ball. And there was a couple of times where I felt, you know, going back to John's point about the getting pressed a little bit, he lost the possession a couple of times there and a couple of misplaced passes, but that's all youth. And that's all stuff that I guess that, you know, with a little bit more game time, he's going to get better. And let's not forget that, you know, it's a pretty harsh baptism of fire to go into the first game of the season with a new manager, a new system, new players around you, and to go up against a team that's just come off a 100-point season like Man City. So, yeah, encouraging to watch him play today.
Yeah, absolutely bang on. And I mean, look, let's make no bones about it, guys. When we look at today's game, we were playing the champions from last season. And they were head and shoulders the best team in the land last season. You know, and
not
this team
that, Jace, one of the best seasons we've seen since the Invincibles, right? You know, like let's not forget that. Yeah. They were just thirdly good. 32 games they won.
Yeah. I'm a big point as well was on the commentary as watching, you know, this is 3 years into Pep's. This is now the third year of Pep's reign. He's, you know, he's got these guys where he wants them. You know, as far as Emery's concerned, yeah, you know, this is the start of it. This is the start. And this is where we're going to learn our lessons. I think, you know, this is where we're going to learn our lessons. You know, it's, you know, when the game started, you could see, you know, City's fluency, John. You know, we tried to press, to be fair to us, but you could see, you know, there's the attitude to go out and press. There's the desire, but we weren't quite working as one, were we?
Yeah, the difference in where the two projects are, you know, you look at City, you're obviously three seasons into it now with Pep, and got a very stable side and only really added Mahrez, and we've brought in quite a few new players, and it's a totally different style of play. It's a totally different coaching style. Everything is totally alien to these players, basically. And they really, some of them looked like they were struggling a bit in what to do with their positioning, when to press, when to go with the teammate, when not to. I think you saw the fact that Guendouzi came in, and one of the reasons probably he did look one of the best players on the pitch is because he hadn't been associated with Arsenal before that. So he hasn't had that coaching all his life. He hasn't, you know, he hasn't had it for the last, you know, in Ramsey's case, like 8 years or whatever. Then you look at, say, something like Lichtsteiner as well, who's coming from another team when he came on as well, where he looked quite comfortable, a lot more than, say, some of the players who've been at the club for a few years. So it's not going to work out perfectly straight away. And you're playing against a team who know each other pretty much inside and out, have got one of the, if not the best manager in the world, who, you know, can deal with being put under pressure. You know, a couple of times we pressed them so well that we won the ball in good areas and we didn't do enough with it, unfortunately, because I thought there was a couple of opportunities we could have maybe got a goal. But it's encouraging from that side, from the offensive side of things. I thought that was good, and the way we sprung on City and the way we pressed them, won it high up the pitch at times. We didn't do enough with it when we did, but there was still, you know, obvious problems in terms of defence and the way we moved the ball out of the back as well.
Yeah, look, let's be quite frank. Okay, the best team won today. We you know, we can't get away from that. The best team did win. But let's get to the game, Dom. I was around by the 8-9 minute mark. You had Aaron Ramsey pulled down on the edge of the box. Okay, it's basically a rugby tackle. And the referee and the linesman chose to ignore it. Now, I can imagine one of them not seeing it, but both of them not seeing it. You know, it was a pure rugby tackle off the ball. It's a free kick on the edge of the box. Not given. Frustrates you at all?
Yeah, and not just that one. There was a couple that I'm sure we'll get to throughout the game, and even just a couple of other calls where, you know, Lacazette, I thought, was winning the ball fairly later in the game and they were getting called fouls, and just a few little moments there that it's one of those things, isn't it? Like you said, the better team won. There is no getting away from that, but there was a lot of little moments in the game, and sometimes these things come down to those little moments just going your way, a couple of inches here or there, and I just felt like there was definitely enough to be a little bit more positive about. But that, I mean, that was just one of a few different incidences throughout the day that just kind of almost added up towards the end, and we just didn't get that sort of going our way today. And sometimes when you do, you can play against a team that's better than you, and you get a few lucky drops and you can snatch a point, if not all three. So yeah, I'm sure we'll get to some of these other decisions later, because there's one that really did bother me later in the game.
Yeah, well, Christian Anderson will be giving one of these away later. Christian Anderson's mentioned the T-shirt. We'll be giving another one away today, guys. The ones for Cactus Jack and who else? Corey and Stefan are all being made up at the moment. So, yeah, we'll be giving another one away at the end of the game. We'll think of a question along the line. I've not thought of it yet, but we will be giving one. Let's go straight to the Sterling goal, John. He took it well, to be fair to him, but there were a number of moments there that we could have cleared or we could have done better in defence. Talk me through it.
Yeah, I mean, he got there was the little deflection on the shot as well, which I think helped a bit, but I'm not sure Cech was getting to it. Bellerin had an okay game, and in that moment there, he's against a winger who, you know, Sterling's come on much better than, you know, he was at Liverpool, and he was going inside and outside as well. So you never know as a fullback which way to go. I thought his body positioning was okay. He showed him inside a little bit too easy. Then Guendouzi comes across and just gives him too much space. He doesn't stand him up and try and force him back out again, and just lets him inside to get the shot off. it's disappointing from a defensive point of view, because there was a couple of times when, you know, thankfully for us, it didn't result in a City goal, but not just Guendouzi, but Xhaka did it as well. Bellerin, Maitland-Niles for the brief period he was on, Lichtsteiner, just from those wide areas, those wide City players coming inside were allowed a little bit too much time and in front of the box as well to get those shots off. But that one in particular, Bellerin, I don't think he put enough pressure on, and then Guendouzi just made it too easy for Sterling to get the shot away. The one thing I wanted to say about that goal, though, and just something throughout the game, part of that issue was just Xhaka and Guendouzi the entire game were obviously covering the back four, which is fine. That's what their job is. That's what they're doing. But they're also covering out wide to the fullbacks, which then just vacated all that space in front of the two centre-backs because, you know, whoever you want to say was the wide players in the team today, which we didn't have, whether it be, Ozil, Ramsey, Mkhitaryan, whoever, no one else was covering the fullbacks. So Guendouzi and Xhaka all day had to cover both centre-backs and the fullbacks as well. And every time they got stretched out wide, there was space in the middle. Every time they covered the middle, there was space out wide one-on-one with the fullbacks again. And obviously, City were overloading both our fullbacks. So they didn't make it easy for us, but it was, you know, there was just too much time and space given to a player like Sterling and the quality he's got.
The problem is when we pressed, we didn't get back quickly enough in numbers. We didn't, you had Ozil and you had Mkhitaryan who were tighter in. They weren't as wide as normal, but they weren't dropping back as effectively as they could have either.
Well, I found it very interesting because at the start of the game, you had, your back four, then you had a line of three, which was Xhaka, Guendouzi and Ozil. And Ramsey was almost in the centre forwards position, and Aubameyang was to the right of him, Mkhitaryan to the left. And it was this very, very tight block, which is fine if you're it cut off all of City's brilliant passing through the middle that they have in games, but it left them so much space out wide, which is fine if you're going to defend that width properly. But we didn't at any point in the game. We just stayed in that very tight block. And it wasn't until the second half, really, when we changed things around a bit and changed the personnel, that we started to get a little bit more cover in for the fullbacks, because they just were not protected at all in the first half. And I can understand the reasoning for it, because City are unlikely to be the sort of team who are going to sling book crosses into the box for, Aguero to get a header on, which, in theory, Mustafi and Socrates should be able to deal with. But what it meant was that Sterling and Mahrez, all for the first half, had so much time to run at fullbacks and try and open up a bit of space, or get, Mendy or Kyle Walker on the other side with the overlap.
Yeah, we got stretched, didn't we? Dom, you're viewing it. I mean, I've got a view on that goal where I'm a bit disappointed in a couple of areas, but it was great play by Sterling as well.
Yeah, and this is one of those moments where I don't want to single the kid out, because it wasn't, purely down to him, but I just felt that Guendouzi got wrong side of Sterling, and Sterling kind of just pushed the ball across on his right foot a couple of times, which, with a bit more experience, you'll know that Sterling's right-footed and that's what he wants to do, and you wouldn't let him get onto his right side like that. And it was a little bit too easy for him in that spot there. I think both of their goals were kind of similar. Like, I think John hit the nail on the head there with Man City's width, and it was dragging our midfielders out wide, whether they were ball watching, whether for whatever reason, and then it was just opening up these spaces for their other midfielders to run into and almost, take some pot shots at our goal. But I'm sure that kind of thing will get cleaned up a little bit. They're just, it was almost like Man City's tactics were just a little bit too much for us today. Because I know that even if we started defending out wide, then they would have brought Mendy and the fullbacks in, and they were doing that anyway, and they were kind of overloading midfield. And it was just one of those games where it's hard to sling too much shade at the team, because Man City are just that good. And we're talking about, I just want to quickly go back as well. There's a lot of the chat box are, very negative about, the change in Emery and things. And people just need to remember that Pep's first season in the Premier League, he was getting hounded by the media and by people because he didn't do so well in his first season. And he is arguably a better coach and has tons more resources than what we do. It's not going to be fixed in a game. One game's not, one preseason and one game against the champions is not going to be a good indicator of where we're at or whether this is going to work or not. We're going to have to give the guy a full season, whether we like it or not. Even Klopp took time. You know, these big changes with new managers, we don't want to go down Chelsea and Man City's route where, you know, we start handing our manager out after a few months. It's not going to be a beneficial thing for the team.
No, I think, you know, we've mentioned it before. This is a new system we're trying to play. Yes, okay. I was disappointed by a couple of players. You know, I really was disappointed in a couple of players. I thought some two performances in particular stunk the park out. But again, you have to get used to the new tactical side of it, the new setup. And I think Emery's learning as well. This is the big thing, okay, where Emery is going to learn how to utilize these guys properly and how best to how to get the best out of them. Next sort of moment I want to mention, I'm going to come back to you on this, Dom, is Cech. Ball comes back to him. There's a, you know, one of the problems we did face when we were trying to play out of the back was the lack of movement. There's only Guendouzi who's giving you proper movement. I thought Mustafi and Socrates were okay, but could be a bit more effective. Xhaka was non-existent, absolutely non-existent, Xhaka today. And Cech played the ball across the goal and, you know, nearly scored an absolute humdinger of an own goal. I know you've got a point to make in this, but talk me through how you saw that situation and then make your point, please, pal.
Well, I don't know if is there any golfers out there in the chat box or any of you two ever played golf, you know, and you line up at the tee and you take an almighty swing and you somehow toe the ball and it almost goes behind you and it's almost impossible to do. That's almost what Petr Cech did. And I don't know, you know, Neil, you know, friend of the podcast, Neil Steen, Captain Fanny, he was at the game today like he usually is for the home games. And, you know, he left us a little voice note and he was said the exact same thing I was thinking, which was basically, if we're going to play this style of football, which a lot of teams are, which is play out from the back and, you know, your goalkeeper almost is a midfielder. That's how some of these newer goalkeepers are now, like Edison, although, you know, he had a couple of mischiefs as well. That's what managers are paying the big bucks for now, is goalkeepers that can really pass like a midfielder. And Petr Cech, for as amazing as he's been throughout his career and for all the accolades that he's had, he's never been that type of goalkeeper. He's more of an old school, traditional goalkeeper, you know. So while we've sort of shoehorned him into trying to do that against a team like Man City who are going to press us so hard, it was a little bit strange to me. And you know, to be honest, if that's our game plan going forward and that's what Emery wants to do, then, hey, you know, well, you know, good on him. But we can't have Petr Cech in goal if that's what we're going to do, because he just does not have the passing range. He looks like a baby giraffe when the ball comes to him and he's expected to kind of take a touch here or there or, you know, move it on. So that one, yeah, there was a few of them like that, wasn't it, where every time the ball got passed back to him and the Man City players came forward to press, I started to bite my fingernails a little bit.
It was slightly concerning. John, we had a great break with Ramsey to Ozil, and Mkhitaryan just couldn't get it out of his feet, could he? You know, that was one of those moments. If the ball falls kindly to Mkhitaryan at that point, it could have been 1-1.
Yeah, there was a few times in the game. I mean, again, it's come from that. It was bizarre seeing Ramsey that high up the pitch. It was almost like how he was playing for Wales at the Euros. You know, in how high he was up and how high he was pressing and making space for other players and that kind of thing. And in those instances, it actually looked like it was working well, because what it did was it would stretch the defence and then Ozil could receive the ball in a bit more space and had a bit more time to do things with it. Yeah, and it just, you know, the little flick round, it just didn't quite fall for Mkhitaryan. And there was a couple of times in the game where I thought, if just the pass had been a little bit more in front of the man, or, you know, the first touch had been a little bit better, then, you know, it may be, you know, you don't know definitely whether you're going to score from it, but at least you get a shot off on goal, you might get a rebound, that kind of thing. And I think if it goes to 1-1, it's a slightly different game then. But yeah, that just everything was sort of, all those kind of things, and our forward movement today was like a couple of percent off here and there. And I guess it's the one thing that was always consistent under Arsene, and now is a little bit different because it's a different system and a different setup. So again, players have got to learn a new thing, and it's not something they're used to. But it's, again, you're still playing City. I know people laugh at their defence and whatever, but they had a brilliant defensive record last season. And Ederson, despite his...
John Stones was great.
They had the best defensive record last year.
You know, he was really good today. I know Ederson had a few cock-ups, but he's a fantastic goalkeeper. You know, so again, they're not an easy team to score against. And it is still, it's first game of the season. And everyone says, oh, you should be match fit and match sharp and everything first game of the season. No team is, realistically, until, you know, four or five games in. Until you really get into the swing of things again. I mean, even Man City today, I don't think that's not the best, you know, Man City you saw today either. They weren't playing at their top level.
De Bruyne was on the bench. You know, their best player was on the bench. You know,
Sane on the bench. You know, it's
you look at that bench and then you realize what we were playing today. It was one of those things. And again, you had Ozil who did his defensive work very well, to be fair to him.
He had a very weird game.
Yeah, it was bizarre.
I mean, Ramsey had a very weird game too. I just don't think Emery knows his best starting formation and players yet because a lot of the chat box are mentioning Ramsey was so far forward today, which I don't think that's where you get the best out of Ramsey. You get the best out of Ramsey when he's central and he makes the late runs into the box, and that's where he gets unmarked and he gets these, you know, goal scoring opportunities, because I've said a bunch of times before, his engine is just so elite that, you know, good luck to Fernandinho or Gundogan to keep up with the guy. It's not going to happen. But when he was already kind of stuck forward because Ozil was out on one side and Mkhitaryan was out on the other. And, you know, I sort of think that one of those two should be in that advanced role, not Aaron Ramsey. And then, Mesut Ozil did have a very strange game today where he looked like it was an almost game. You know, he looked like he was just almost about to do something, but kind of just never did.
I think his game was summed up. It rambled the ball on the left-hand side of the park, pointed it in to go around the corner, and he just stood still. Ramsey laid it off, goes in a touch. And that was him going forward. Nothing came off for him. He's a disaster going forward. He did his defensive role, though, you know, which was quite strange. John, we had Mkhitaryan took a shot in the box and Mendy bundled him over.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, Michael Oliver didn't even look at it. He just waved it away straight away. And I thought there was a shout there for certain. To me, that was a penalty.
I didn't think it was, to be honest. I thought Mendy got... don't get me wrong, just getting the ball doesn't mean it's not a foul or whatever. We saw that yesterday with Phil Jagielka. He got a touch on the ball but completely wiped out. I can't remember Jimenez, whoever it was for Wolves. But no, I thought he got on the ball, and I think it should have been a corner. I think he kicked it back off Mkhitaryan, then it came back off Mendy. Mendy had a weird game for City as well. He was lucky on a couple of occasions.
But he did go through Mkhitaryan, though.
Yeah, I still don't. I just think sometimes certain tackles, I don't know what the exact laws or wording and everything is. If it's a reckless challenge, I get that. But I don't think it was reckless. I think he's gone for the tackle and then followed through with a block because Mkhitaryan's got the shot off. But I think there was probably a better shout for a penalty, although I'm not sure I would have given that one. But I think there was definitely a better one than that tackle. But again, it involved Mendy.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing now, you know. I mean, the dispersal of yellow cards throughout the first half, I found shocking, to be honest with you. I just, some of the challenges the City players made, you know, we'd pick up one straight away, and yet, you know, vice versa, it just didn't happen. But they were well on top, and more often than not, referees do favour the team on top. That's the way it goes. Dom, Aguero had a couple of chances. You know, did he have a poor game, or was he just? What do you think of Aguero? You know, today.
I don't think he had a great game, but I also think just the way that they were playing, it was more so going to be their wide players that were going to find, you know, a little bit of success. I do think Socrates is, if that's how we're saying his name, I don't know, Socrates. Yeah. And Mustafi had pretty decent games and were able to keep the central sort of threats pretty quiet. But yeah, I mean, Aguero normally against us, he's bang on to score, isn't he? And
yeah.
It was definitely their wide movement that had us undone today for sure.
Yeah. Then John, we saw Ramsey come off, Lacazette replace him. So there's a bit of a change there. And we came into the game really well at that point. You saw some good link-up play. Did you think the tide was turning at that point?
It looked like it, because City looked really nervous for a sort of 5-10 minute spell. We changed systems as well. It looked like we went to a diamond. Ozil wasn't as deep in that midfield three. We looked like we were playing with two up top for not the whole of that second half when Lacazette came on, but you know, him and Elba were certainly a lot closer with Ozil through in a traditional number 10 role. And yeah, I mean, just Lacazette came on and just put himself about. He was winning tackles. He was pressing really well. I thought the fact that we had that extra man up front to press with Aubameyang was clearly causing issues. Laporte was a bit ponderous on the ball. Mendy was as well. And Fernandinho was giving it away a little bit. And just that little change of system and a change of shape in midfield just caused City enough problems in those sort of 5-10 minute period that if we had of got a goal out of it, and again, I think we did end up sort of getting a chance out of it from winning the ball high at the pitch with this pressing again that we're starting to see, maybe the game is different. You know, then you force something different out of the game, because then it just changes the mindset of the City players as well. And the fact that, oh, look, we can, you know, this team that we're so used to playing for the last however many years, we know plays one particular way. All of a sudden, they've switched systems within a game and they're playing differently. And there's two strikers up top to deal with, and it's a totally different animal. So, yeah, I thought Lacazette was really good when he came on. And I think he did enough, barring the efforts he had that I thought he could have done a bit better with, or at least got on target one of them. He did enough for me to, you know, be in with a shout to start the next game.
I think there's going to be a couple of worried people before the Chelsea game. I think a couple of people are going to lose their places. It's going to be interesting to see the way Emery sees it. Lacazette had a shot, the volley just went wide. Then you had the Aguero break, where, you know, Guendouzi just misses the ball. It was phenomenal.
I got a message from my mate at that moment, and he said, "Is David Luiz come on for Arsenal?"
Well, we've named him the budget David Luiz, haven't we? Until you know, he overtakes him as a player, but that's too long. But until then, he's budget David Luiz.
Yeah, it was just one of those moments, wasn't it? And I thought just the crowd reacted quite.
Yeah,
you know, it happens. It happens to the best players. Great save by Cech. Cech made a couple of good saves during the game, to be fair to him. And then we get caught on the Bernardo goal. Dom, Lichtensteiner, who'd come on for Maitland-Niles, had looked really solid, but just done by a great run, and Sterling with a great ball across the box. We had enough numbers back. Should we have done better?
Yeah, this one I do believe so. And again, you know, I don't want it to sound like I'm making excuses for everything, but if you think that you're going to play against Man City and they're not going to have a couple of breaks like that, or a cut, like, they'll do that to any team in the world. It doesn't matter. That's how good they are. But I still think that goal was definitely preventable. And normally I don't like singling out players, but this one, to me, if you look back and watch what Granit Xhaka's doing, he just gets caught ball watching. He gets dragged out wide because he sees Mendy with the ball, and he wanders across, and then Bernardo Silva takes up the space that Xhaka should be protecting, and basically just gets a shot on goal, and our defenders are left looking stupid. But that, to me, was definitely down to Granit Xhaka just drifting out, ball watching, losing concentration. I'm not sure what, to be honest, but he should have been where Bernardo Silva ended up.
Yeah, John, your thoughts on it, mate?
The biggest issue I had with that goal was Lichtensteiner, who I thought when he came on actually did really well. And the fact that he was up against Mahrez, is quite a tricky winger and is quite quick. I thought he kept him quiet, you know, and Maitland-Niles was struggling with him a little bit. But for again, it comes to this problem of if you're not helping your fullbacks defend when a runner from wide gets, you know, passed on by Xhaka or whoever else in midfield, and there's no one actually really covering the fullbacks, they don't know whether they're supposed to pick it up. But Lichtsteiner is 34 years old. He's played for Juventus for years and played Champions Leagues and World Cups and all those kind of things. He should be intelligent enough to know that, oh, look, there's a player completely unmarked. You know, I have no one to mark at all. Socrates and Mustafi had, I think, Aguero, or it might have been Jesus who was on then, I can't remember. But, you know, he's got no one else to mark. He should be going out there and taking that man. And it don't take away from the strike, because it's a great finish from Bernardo. The way he comes onto it and just absolutely top bins that is fantastic. I don't think the ball should be getting across in the first place is also another issue. You know, they should be blocking that sort of that cross out there. But yeah, for me, Lichtsteiner's got to be out there and tighter to him and not allow, you know, not allowing to get the run on him, and the ball shouldn't be coming in anyway.
The space that we seem to leave, you know, you had the back four there. Yes, okay, there's mistakes either side. I get that. But then that space in front of the back four, you know, there was acres of it in the middle of the box. Yeah. And that disappointed me, you know. And, it, you know, I think, you know, yes, I'm trying to sort of remember that, you know, it's a new system for these guys and what have you. But
the thing with that, Jace, though, is like, new system, fine, I get that. But there's basic principles of defending, you know. And, yeah, Xhaka gets pulled out of position. I think him and Guendouzi got both pulled over to the wrong side. Only one of you should be going there, you know, whoever, which one it is, to help Bellerin out. But, yeah, you know, one of the central mids should be in front of the two centre-backs there. But Bernardo Silva's come out from the right wing. You know, yeah. So he's running 10 yards and then he's like square with Lichtsteiner and then run another 10 to get into the middle of the box. And Lichtsteiner, old enough player and wise enough to realise, oh, hang on a minute, I'm completely out of position here, marking no one.
Question, John, would he have made that run if he didn't see a bunch of space there to run into?
Standing
in that space, is Bernardo Silva going to make the run there in the first place?
Yeah, maybe he isn't. No, that's true. And again, it's not just one player, but the point of signing someone like Lichtsteiner is so that he can come in and cover at left back if we've got an emergency like we do at the moment, or come in and, you know, give, you know, teach some of the younger defenders some new skills and abilities and, stuff, that kind of thing. But he should still be aware. Well, hang on a minute, there's danger there. I should be closing that down. Not going, oh, there's no one there, I'll stand there. The ball's nearly, you know, is a yard from Bernardo Silva's foot, then I'll make a move, that kind of thing.
But I will make the point again, as you mentioned earlier on, our wing-back's got no cover today. There was nobody coming back to help out. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. These spaces need to be filled. You know, if you can't take the player down, you defend the space to stop them running into it. And we weren't quite cohesive enough to do that today, were we?
Well, the other thing I want to ask John about with the defensive part of it, and as someone that obviously hasn't played football at a very high level, but, you know, if you're going to kind of go to this defensive attitude of just going and marking a single player and trying to run with them, Man City are going to tear you to pieces. You have to kind of be positioned and you have to mark space, surely, to stop them being able to pass and move into these spaces. Because if you're being reactionary and you're just running with a player and hoping that you can keep up with them, I think it's really hard to defend like that.
Yeah, you're never going to man mark in open play unless, you know, you might do it on one player. If you're playing a Barcelona, you might man mark like a Messi or something like that. Or people used to do it against Liverpool, didn't they? With their man mark Gerrard. But in general, in open play, you're not going to. But yeah, Xhaka is out of position, the space in the middle. Guendouzi's been pulled across because Bellerin has been getting no help all game. And I assume, I mean, we can only assume at this point that the centre mids in Xhaka, you know, Guendouzi, Torreira, when he came on, have been told to come and help and cover the fullbacks. That then leaves them exposed so that players like Mendy, Walker, Mahrez, in this case, obviously for the goal, Bernardo Silva can come out from wide and just, you know, and come in and attack that space. But again, I'm not picking out singling out just Lichtsteiner. The reason I brought him up is just because he is experienced enough and he should be more aware than, say, you know, like we kind of give Guendouzi a bit of a free ride because he is so young and he's still learning the game. But someone at Lichtsteiner's age and his level should be aware of that kind of situation.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. But I mean, this is the one thing, if you watch, and again, you know, we're comparing ourselves to the best team in the land in City, but you watched the way City fall back in the defensive roles, okay? You know, it's like a domino effect. They all crumple in on it and they, you know, they all fill space. And, you know, they were first to most of the second balls today. You know, each and every time they were there and thereabouts, and they did. We had to work hard for our opportunities, whereas we gave them a couple of really good opportunities, which we shouldn't have. Okay, so a couple of shout outs in the chat box. St. Columbo's there, Neil Vergela's there, Basti LZ's there, Nicky Wilson's there, Nicky Wilson, how the devil are you? Pete Colson's there, Thomas from Norway's there. Hi, how are you all? Gary Donahue's there. There's 279 of you watching, and I've only got 67 likes. What do you think is going on? Come on, let's get going. Start pressing that like button, please. Do it now. No bloody excuses. Come on. C'est la vie, you get a shout out. Now hit that like button. Payesh Kapoor, you get a shout out. Hit that like button. Evon Akofa, hit the like button for crying out loud. Come on. Now onto something which really riles me up.
Oh, Dom, here we go. To...
I was fuming at this. Mendy.
Mm-hmm.
At the set piece.
Oh, I know what you let me take it. It's the Mustafi chokehold slam to the ground and wave play on, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. That really pissed me off as well because, you know, throughout the World Cup, they were hot on that. Last year, especially, I remember in the Premier League, referees made a point of kind of targeting that kind of shithousery in the defensive kind of, you know, set pieces and corners and things like that. And it just, like I said, you know, earlier, I knew we were going to get to this. There's just a few moments in the game that could have easily had us 1-1 or 2-2 or, you know, at least scoring a goal. And that was definitely one of them. And I don't like using referees as an excuse, but that one to me, I just don't understand how Mustafi's just trying to make a clear run at the ball. Mendy's not even looking at it, sticks his arm out, grabs him around the neck. It wasn't even subtle, you know, and when I watched it back on replay, I can understand why Mustafi basically ignored the game and kind of gone on and went up and screamed at the ref because it was just, it was a really baffling one. I don't know how that both linesman and referee missed that.
What annoys me, John, I'm coming to you on this. Michael Oliver's looking at it.
Yeah.
He's looking at it. Okay. There is no getting away from the fact he has seen that happen. That is a red card for dangerous play. You can't grab anybody around the neck. You just can't do it. Okay? And it's a penalty.
It's at least a yellow card. I don't know. I don't think it's a red card, but it's definitely a yellow card.
I'm not disagreeing with you guys. I did think it was a penalty, but I'm trying to put myself in Michael Oliver's shoes, which is a terrifying, weird-looking man.
Very weird looking dude. You know what else he did before you get on, John? You know how sometimes referees go and when there's an injury, they go and have a drink of water from one of the players. Yeah. He's one of those guys that puts the bottle in his mouth and drinks it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So Socrates gave him a drink and he's gone and stopped. No, not having that.
No, you don't put your mouth to it, you just squirt. Anyway.
That's right.
The only reason I can think is either, you know, he's just zoned out for a second, which I'm sure, honestly, I bet that does happen in games. I'm sure it happens to players as well.
I have no doubt it does. Yeah. I've no doubt it does, but he was watching it, John. You know, was watching it.
Or he thinks that, you know, they're jostled for position. Mendy's gone to, you know, move him out of the way. And literally, as Mendy's put his arms on him, Mustafi's just gone down really easy. Now, I didn't see it like that, and I don't think anyone else did. I'm not, again, you know, if we get a penalty, then maybe we score a goal. It's all ifs and buts. I'm not sure that we necessarily deserved anything out of the game, but it doesn't mean
that's fair enough. That's not the point, is it? That's not the point.
It shouldn't be done correctly. And again, I think this is a thing of, we don't have VAR. We're not going to get it until next season. If we had VAR, that I think that's going to be picked up. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Both your thoughts quickly, guys, okay, on Laporte. Okay, he's thrown his head at or nudged his head towards Lichtensteiner, sorry, earlier in the game. If VAR catches that, does he go?
I don't think so, no. I think it's very, very, I'm going to say it's touch and go.
I don't. If Lichtensteiner hadn't kind of moved back and he kind of just held his ground, there would have been a little more contact. I've seen players get sent off for less, especially in other leagues, maybe like Spain or Italy or something like that. Mm. But in the Premier League, yeah, I mean, again, though, there was nothing, was there? There was no kind of yellow card. There was no talking to the player. There wasn't really much of anything. Yeah, like I said, there's just a few things today that were completely missed. Like I said, I don't like being that guy that harps on about referees, but they definitely didn't do us any favours today, that's for sure.
I think that thing with Laporte, it's right, if they're like bang on to the letter of the law, like no extenuating circumstances and all that kind of thing, then yeah, maybe it's a red. But
there are no extenuating circumstances. They were both jocking each other.
It's very, very gentle.
Yeah, let's be fair.
And okay, let's be honest, if there was a microphone on Lichtensteiner, I can imagine exactly what he said to Laporte to get him to react like that, which I think pretty much any referee would probably give him a red card for as well. I know exactly what Lichtensteiner's like. You know, I did enjoy his little, I mean, that was one of the sort of highlights of the day, was him, you know, having a pop at the referee and sort of going, you know, you need to be watching this, and then like constantly talking to the linesman, having a bit of a laugh and a joke with him. I hope he's not treating Arsenal like a sort of retirement holiday home camp thing or whatever for his last like sort of foray in football. But I like that side of his game is, you know, is good.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I kind of enjoyed Lichtensteiner today. You know, that I just want to gauge what you thought of that incident, because it was just one of those where, you know, I'd have reacted badly to that. I really would have.
John's mentioned this before, you know, wanting to be a bit of more of a bastard team, and he, you know, having some maybe players like Bellerin around him, who, or you know, seeing Torreira as a new kid, or even Mustafi or Sokratis, these sort of defensive players around, seeing someone get fired up, seeing someone that shows that they care, seeing someone that won't let a referee, you know, get away with a bad call. I think that side of things, the dark arts, maybe you would call it, like John said, you know, like just whispering to the refs and letting them know, hey, you've got to be watching this, and just kind of getting in their ear just a little bit. And it's not a bad thing for us to have someone like that in the team, is it? It's only going to be a positive thing, hopefully. And he doesn't seem like somebody that loses his cool about it either, you know, like doesn't seem like something. He seems more like of the... Yeah, the guy that's sort of the antagonist, I guess you would call it, right? The guy that's kind of winding people up rather than the one losing his cool.
I think he's got plenty of that about him. You know, he's just, I think he's very calculated, and I like that about him. But there we go. Let's get on then with this. So Xhaka comes off, Torreira comes on. What did you make of Torreira? I know it was a sort of a cameo, but I really liked the fact Torreira was really in the middle, collecting balls from around the back four, cutting things off. I thought he made a difference. Dom?
So I'll let someone else take the ball-playing ability and passing and stuff side of his game today, and I'll kind of focus more on the defensive part, because what I really liked is when Man City were kind of running at us, I had a bit of an eye on him. I was really watching what he was doing, and he seems to really understand players around him and have a great understanding and awareness of where the pass is going to go. And a couple of times he positioned himself perfectly to cut the ball out as Man City were breaking forward. So the couple of interceptions that he did make and the positions that he took up defensively were the things that I was really happy to see and think we've been missing quite a lot. You know, he can get into these positions. You know, the criticism of Xhaka from a lot of people is that he doesn't have the athleticism. Even if he saw where he needed to be, maybe he doesn't actually have the pace or the movement to get into those positions that I saw Torreira take up today? And maybe it was because, you know, when Torreira come on, the game's kind of winding down a little bit and it was a little slower, perhaps. I don't know. But that side of his game, I was really, really happy with. But yeah, I'll let John kind of talk about the offensive side of things because he did a couple of good things there as well.
Yeah, I mean, I was really happy to see him come on. I wanted to see him from the start, to be honest, but again, I don't know, maybe fitness issues or maybe it's just the short amount of time he's had training with the team. But when he got on the ball and he was able to do things, there was one pass in particular he did and Aubameyang was just offside.
Yeah.
Just a little bit like short on the timing, but he's got that ability to do those kind of passes. And he's just neat and tidy with it. He will look for a simple ball, but that's not his first thought. He will always want to go forwards. And what I liked as well was the fact that when he did come on, we did have that diamond formation shape. He did have Ozil directly ahead of him. He had Guendouzi and Mkhitaryan as the two tighter players either side. And that's what he's used to. And the fact that Emery appreciates that he's that good a player, you know, and that he wants to put him in a familiar environment in terms of the players around him and their positioning, I think will really help him. I hope he gets a start for the Chelsea game. I just want to see how well he can do this season because it's a big ask coming to a different league, and he had a great time at Sampdoria and did really, really well there. But I just really impressed with him, and I hope he goes on because he's the sort of guy who could be a real fan favourite. And like you guys said, it puts serious pressure on Granit Xhaka because it's clear that Emery really likes Guendouzi as well.
Yeah. Let's ask a question then, okay? Because for me, Xhaka doesn't even make the bench against Chelsea. He was gutless today, absolutely gutless. On the ball, he fell over at one point. He was ridiculous. Around the pitch, you know, he does have an engine, you know, against Tottenham last season, he covered 12K. You know? And I know he's just come back from the World Cup and what have you, but it doesn't stop Kante doing it. It doesn't stop other people doing it. Why is it stopping him? Would you start Torreira or Xhaka next week?
Torreira.
Yeah, I'd start Torreira as well. Just on Xhaka, because I know he's getting a coat. You know, I agree. I don't think he had a very good game today. Hector Bellerin and Mesut Ozil had 6 ball recoveries today. Xhaka had 4.
If you stand in the same place long enough, the ball will come to you.
Yeah, I agree.
He was that bad today, okay?
No, I'm not making an excuse for him. I think that the problem is that he doesn't. It's not that he doesn't have the engine because he can clearly run all day. That's not a problem. It's the fact that he can't run quickly.
That's right.
It's a struggle when if you're going to do this pressing style, then Xhaka needs to be the deepest player, which doesn't then work because Guendouzi wants to be that. Torreira's been brought in to do that job as well. And if Xhaka can't be allowed to be the deepest player in that midfield, whether it's a free diamond or whatever, then what happens is he has to press high up the pitch and he hasn't got the recovery pace to get back in position or to push up quick enough to help with the press. And then it just kills the whole thing because everyone needs to do it in sync.
And when it comes to fitness stuff and it comes to, you know, talking about engines, talking about, you know, the distance covered, what you're actually looking for is what kind of 12Ks was it? Was he running at sub-max or was he doing max sprints, recover, which is what you'll see someone like Aaron Ramsey do or what you'll probably end up seeing Torreira do in that position, which is if he's not moving at 100%, he's nearly moving at 100% or he's kind of guarding space. There's no point being able to jog around the pitch for 90 minutes and go, look at my stats, look how far I've run, because it's not actually about that. And when you're tracking stuff, and I know this for a fact with Darren Burgess, that they go into epic detail when it comes to what kind of distance did you cover. I don't know if anyone saw in the preseason when one of the players would take their shirt off to give to the crowd or whatever, they looked like they had this little sports bra thing.
Yeah.
That's actually a GPS tracker in the back, and they'll download all of that data and they will look at, you know, your pace, and they will know very quickly what kind of effort you're actually putting in, and they'll tell you, be like, you weren't working hard enough today, you left too much out on the pitch. So with Xhaka, I'd love to see his, because I don't really see him moving much more than sub-max for most of the game, and that is the problem, because John's spot on. If you're going to push up to press, you need to have recovery speed, because a Man City team's good enough to pass around you, you know. And if Man City do happen to pass the ball around you quickly, you've got to get back. And I just don't think he has the, I just don't think he has the physical attributes to be able to do that. So it's going to be an interesting one for him. I like him, I do, but at the same time, looking at next week, I can't see an argument where he's should be preferred over Guendouzi and Torreira. The other thing with Guendouzi is I'm hoping that because he looks like David Luiz, the Chelsea players will pass to him accidentally. So that's probably a good tactic.
My biggest problem with him is when sort of you had it when Guendouzi had the ball deeper, we're trying to play at the back. He's just stood next to a Man City player. He's just stood there. Instead of taking, you know, making a couple of steps or, you know, feigning to go and coming in early to give him an opportunity, you know. Each time he's just stood there and he just made life difficult for everyone today. And I just did not... I like Xhaka. This is the thing. I do like Granit Xhaka as a player. And today I just thought he was absolutely gutless. And that I can't accept. Going on, we just have two more points and then we'll go to questions. We turn the ball up. The ball drops to Ozil from a mistake. The mix-up between Ozil and Lacazette. John, talk to me about it.
I really don't know what was happening there. Again, like I said, Ozil had a weird game. I thought Lacazette was good when he came on and his harassing was good, but his shooting was wayward today. And I don't know if he was just completely unaware of where Edison was, or did he think that Ozil was going to run onto it and hit it, or is it, you know, so like half of me is like, it's a bad touch from Ozil and he's made a call to Lacazette and he's just trying to run on and shoot. And then half of me is, oh no, Ozil's actually, it's not a bad touch. He's made a pass to Lacazette. He wants just a little layoff and into a bit of space because he knows Edison's coming and he wants to get the shot off. And they just, like, the communication just wasn't there. And it happened all day today with Mesut Ozil. I thought it was, if you look at his first half where he's playing in that midfield three, the deeper three, not the front third, defensively, he was amazing. And it's something we've criticised him for his entire time at Arsenal, and I certainly have as well. And he didn't complain about it once. He got on with it. It totally neutered the best part of his game, which was his passing and getting forwards and affecting the game in the final third. Second half comes, we change the system round. He gets higher at the pitch, he's given more freedom and everything. He's getting on the ball more, but then just his passing was just all over the place. He wasn't finding Aubameyang, he wasn't finding Lacazette. You know, he didn't find Ramsey, none of the wing backs or anything. He wasn't moving into space when someone was doing a layoff for him and all that kind of thing. And I don't know if it's just he's still got a bit of a hangover from the World Cup and the whole thing with Germany, and it's still sort of in the back of his head and affecting him and the way he's playing. But he looked really, really frustrated towards the end of the game today. And you could see he was getting, especially on that particular occasion, he had that, you know, the kind of where he swings his arms and he almost sort of childish stamp on the floor, his feet kind of thing. And I get it, because it's a great opportunity to get a goal and maybe get back in the game and you might get a draw out of it, which I think if you asked any Arsenal fan, if you said, I'll give you a point for this game, they would have all snapped your hands off for it, because I don't think anyone really expected anything today. But he's just passing today, and just communication with the rest of the team just seemed to be just not there at all.
No, it was difficult, wasn't it? It was...
But I don't want to cane him, because he did the other side of his game that we've been so, you know, I've been personally so annoyed with that he doesn't do. And I was worried for him when Emery came in. I thought, if you don't work hard, then you're really going to struggle to get in this team. But he worked really, really hard today. And he got, you know, and Emery kind of rewarded him in the second half and said, look, you've done your job first half. I'm going to give you some freedom now. Go and, you know, go and try and win the game for me almost. And it just wasn't happening for him.
Dom, was Mesut Ozil in competition with Alexis Sanchez for giving away the ball the most in the Premier League this weekend?
No, no one can top Alexis. I've had a Alexis out kind of camp, not a campaign. He was fantastic for us, let's be honest. But man, he frustrated the hell out of me with how often he'd give the ball away and just stupid stuff too. Look, Mesut Ozil didn't have a great game today, and the stuff that he's usually very good at, he wasn't today. But you know, John mentioned he did some of the stuff that we'd all been slating him for not doing, which was getting back and helping out and running that little bit harder and getting some ball recoveries and things like that. And I'm sure the part of his game that comes very naturally to him will tighten up. And the other part of Mesut Ozil today is I don't want to see him out wide on the left or right. I think it's absurd. And hopefully we get that sorted too. So I am a Mesut Ozil fan. I do like the guy. He didn't have a great game today, and I'm sure he would probably be the first to admit that. But I think that he's only going to get better. And like I said, he had an almost game. There were just a few moments there where, you know, he almost got it through. So anyway, don't want to harp on too much. What about, yeah. There's one player about today. What happened?
All of us, let me just give us 20 quid. Gary Donahue's just given us 20 quid.
Gary's the man.
Gary, this show's for you.
Yeah, we need some shout outs in the chat, please.
We'll be going to that in the end now. We'll be giving away a t-shirt. Gary Donahue, you're a rock star. We absolutely love you. Absolutely love you. Thank you ever so much. Oh my God. Tell you what. Don't know what's going on. T-shirt will be given away after we've done questions. I've got the question now, so we're going to have a bit of fun. And it's going to be stay in the box. Once I've asked the question, first person to put the correct answer in the chat box wins, okay? Right, guys, I've given a lot of stick to Socrates this since we signed him.
I want to ask you about something, Jace, just before, because this leads into this. I'm sorry to cut you off. Yeah. But if we'd signed a player from a different league somewhere and it was still the old manager, say, 3-4 seasons ago, because you were always the positive guy 3-4 seasons ago, we're always going to win the league going into the season. And if we'd signed a guy like that back then, I have a feeling your attitude would have been, well, look, it is what it is. Let's just get behind the guys and he's got to prove to us that he can do it. Whereas this year, you've already decided that he's no good before he'd even kicked the ball.
Okay, there's two things there. First of all, Arsene Wenger earned the right to me that I stuck with him, okay? He gave me a season unbeaten. He gave me two doubles. He gave me the best moments of sporting life, right? So yes, maybe my view has changed. That's fair enough. Sven Mislintat's done nothing as of yet. Okay, I like Aubameyang, Mkhitaryan, he's hot and cold. I like him as a player. But, you know, what was screaming at us from Arsene's reign was we needed a centre-half who was quick, who was mobile, and with some leadership qualities. And Socrates, I think he's been okay today. He had a great challenge in the box, to be fair to him. It's a really solid challenge in the box, which probably saved us another goal, and you know, got to take my hat off to him for that. But you know, Socrates has none of those things, and some of his performances in pre-season, you know, there's a point Steve mentioned in the WhatsApp group. There's a point earlier on in the first half where the back four's in a line, all except Socrates, because he's got no pace, he's panicking and dropping. He dropped deep, so you know, he's going to be playing everybody on side. I hope I'm wrong.
That's the only thing that he did today that we can criticize him for. He's had a pretty damn good game.
I got to be honest though. I thought he should have been done better for the first goal as well. He didn't make a proper attempt to block that whatsoever. He just stood there and kind of peeled in instead of peeling out for it. And that's not good enough for me. Okay, but I'm not going to make a big deal out of it because obviously, you know, I've slated the guy and I want to give him a bit of leeway there because that, you know, wouldn't be fair just have a go at him all the time. But at that point, you've got to move out. You've got to put the block in, arms in, shoulder out. And he didn't even attempt to do it.
I mean, the goalkeeper could have actually put his hand up as well. That would have been
maybe,
nice.
Maybe so. It's coming late and the defender's in the way to make blocks and the defenders haven't done it, okay? So you can slate the pair of them, you know? Whatever. I'm not a fan of Socrates at all. But I thought he was solid enough today. First goal, he let himself down. Great challenge second half in the box. So, you know, you've got to give him a bit of credit there. John, your thoughts?
I thought he was fairly decent today. I don't think he really made that many mistakes. I think he could have made a bit more effort with the block. I think he could have reacted a little bit quicker. other than that, I thought he had a good game. Headed clear. He tried to play out from the back, which is clearly the manager's instruction. I don't think he gave any sort of dodgy passes or anything. When he was under too much pressure, he was sensible enough just to, you know, get it up the pitch and get it clear as well. He didn't bring unwanted pressure onto the defence. So, the fact is you're facing one of the best strikers the Premier League's ever seen as well today, in Aguero. You know, he's got, over 200 goals for Man City now? He's ridiculous. His strike rate, he guaranteed 20-plus goals a season, I think, basically, ever since he's been in the league. I thought he did really well.
Were we defending deeper?
We were defending deeper than I saw them in pre-season, definitely. The line was not as high, that is for sure. But that looked to be the plan today to me. It looked to be to sit very solid, a very tight block, especially in the centre, to cut off all that passing, and then to try and break using Aubameyang, you know, Ramsey, those kind of players, and use their bit of space. And also the fact that, you know, City do tend to play with quite a high lie themselves and try and exploit that space in behind.
Absolutely. Okay, well, that's the game, guys. We lost 2-0, obviously. Matthew Hudson, Big Bunny Kane, Peter P, Phelps, SJ, SP's in there. And once again, a big thank you to Gary Donahue. Evan Okoko. Sorry, Evon Okafor. Sorry, I've absolutely butchered that. He's just given us a couple of quid as well. Give Emery time to sort stuff out, he says. Absolutely. I think that's the big thing from today that we all agree on, is that for all these guys, you know, today's a learning curve. You know, it's a learning curve and it's going to take time. So, you know, we're going to have to wait and see. It's one of those things. Thunder Rhodes just asked, who's taller, Torreira or Carpenter?
Torreira's taller than Chris Carpenter.
Yeah. Torreira's a giant compared to Carpenter. On a serious note, a big thank you to Yvonne and to Gary Donahue. Yvonne Okafor. I think that's right. I hope that's right, Yvonne. Otherwise, I do apologise. But, you know, you guys really do appreciate, you know, your donations. It's superb. That helps us carry on the show, get equipment, etc. for what we need. Just thank you ever so much, you know, from all of us at ABW. We appreciate the fact so many of you are in the box and partaking it. And to all those guys listening on iTunes as well, it's fantastic. But remember, guys, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Click the bell button. You'll be notified as soon as we go live. Right? You'll know about it. You'll be able to join in. And, you know, there's a T-shirt going to be given away after these questions. And we'll have another winner. So it'll be nice. Thank you very much. So on to the questions, lads. But it was a few, wasn't it? Everything Rude Everything asks. And I'm going to come to Dom on this first. What do we lose from Ramsey no longer being with the Arsenal? Given the plethora of similarities we have, given that Emery will play him, we can do without him playing a false Okuzaka role. What do you think? The big thing about now, Aaron Ramsey, a lot of people giving him stick for his performance today, but what are your thoughts?
I think Aaron Ramsey's our best midfielder. I think he's our most important midfielder, and I mean, Emery even said that when he first came to the club. You know, an outsider that has no ties to Arsenal. There's no favouritism going on. And he came in and told Jack Wilshere to jog on. And he told Aaron Ramsey he wants him to stay and be a big part of his plan. So, I mean, you know, I know that Aaron Ramsey has his critics. But at the same time, he's Arsenal's highest ever goal-scoring midfielder. And he's won 2 FA Cups off his own boot. And he's statistically a very, very important player. I don't personally understand why people seem to have such a big issue with Aaron Ramsey. I think that he needs to be given a contract and to stay at the club, and we can easily build a team around the guy. I think he's very, very, very important. And before the chat box starts getting angry, you're not going to change my mind. So that's how I feel about that one.
It's one of those, isn't it? I mean, today you could clearly see he's been asked to lead the press. You know, he was the one leading it. You know, Aubameyang should have been sharper. A couple of other people should have been sharper. They're always going to be the boo boys. A bit like me with Socrates. So there you go. Right, that's enough questions in there, John. We've got enough in there now, pal. Formerly Norza asks, is this one of the slowest Arsenal teams we've had in years? I mean, pure pace-wise.
Well, I don't know. I'd argue that Nasri, Kleb, Fabregas, Danielson, Song was pretty slow. Although I guess we had Walcott then, didn't we?
We've got no wingers. That's the thing.
Yeah, it's again, we've had this problem for a long time. We had, I guess Walcott was our one wide player we had for a long time. And he still got loads of stick. And, you know, his return on goals and assists was actually pretty good, to be honest, for a wide player. It wasn't like it was horrendous. It was just the people got fed up with how much money he wanted and his inconsistent performances. So I do think a lack of width is still an issue. Emery clearly likes to play with fullbacks very high up the pitch and trying to get them to use that width. But what I'm interested to see is, will we play this same very tight 4-3-3 formation where, you know, the two wide of the striker, they're not wingers. They're almost left and right forwards. Will we do that again when we play Chelsea? Or was this just a ploy just for City? This is the thing. We don't know if that's the formation he's going to go with the whole season. Is he going to use that tactic every single game? Is he going to, you know, do different things? I think we need, you know, you look, Aubameyang's quick. I think Mkhitaryan's quicker than people realise. I think Ramsey's a lot quicker as well, at least over short distances. You've still got Bellerin for pace. And the one and disappointment today is Ainsley Maitland-Niles, who I really hope it's not like a serious injury. I hope it's just like a week or two he's out. Yeah. Nothing bad, because I think he's going to have a really, really big season. And I know, like, I tend to disagree with Josh on this a little bit. I know Josh said he wants to stay out wide because he is so quick. But eventually, I do want to see him in the middle. But he's such a good option just because of his pace and the recovery pace as well when he helps get back to defending. But yeah, we are lacking, not necessarily pace, we're lacking, like, dribblers of the ball, I think.
Okay. Marble Halls TV asks, should we go in for Pickford in January? I'll answer this. We haven't even given Leno a chance yet. You know, it's first game of the season. We're going to ask about the check next. K-Man 1867 has asked about that. But I got to be honest, you know, having watched Pickford last season, he's a talent. Is he the answer for us? I don't think he is. I don't think he's that great, to be honest with you. Dom K-Man 1867 asks, should Cech have saved that first goal?
I don't know. I'm not a goalkeeper, never played in goal before, don't know, you know, anything about it. It did seem like he was unsighted a little bit and the ball did move very quickly, but I would have at least thought he might throw a hand up and just hope, you know, something.
Maybe it was too late, but there were a lot of mistakes in that goal. Let's be fair, it's not just Cech there. You know, I'd just give him a bit of a break on that. John, MSM25 asks, by the way, can we talk about fans leaving after 75 minutes? What the hell was that? The opening game of the season. Look, don't spend too long over it, but did that shock you a bit?
It's a little bit surprising, yeah. I'm not sure why. I don't know. It's possible, and again, this is not me making excuses, it's possible maybe there's some train issues at the moment. You know, a lot of the fans aren't from London, and especially open down the season because it's Man City, there's going to be fans from all over the country coming. So there might have been a genuine, you know, if you do not leave at this time, you are not getting the 4-hour train or whatever to get home. So I'm hoping it's that more than, you know, fans disappointed.
That happens all over the world, to be honest.
Yeah.
People leaving a couple minutes early because they've got travel times and things like that. Happens in Australia with the Aussie rules. You'll see. Yeah. I mean, look, there would be a little bit of a...
There's a few sour people that leave early
for sure. But then I think that there is definitely an aspect of what you're saying for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Mayank Nagendran asks... against the Chavs, do we play Torreira and Xhaka or Torreira and Guendouzi?
I don't see why you would drop Guendouzi after today. You know, I think all things considered with the team that he was playing against and the lack of help that he got from Xhaka, I think that the kid was very good. So I think John made a really good point. I didn't think about this earlier, that You know, we're talking about a kid that doesn't know the Arsene Wenger way, that doesn't know that doesn't have to be reverse coached like maybe Xhaka does. I don't know. But I think that that's a really valid point and something to consider as to why maybe he played as well as he did, or maybe he, you know, definitely should be getting a start over Xhaka in the next game, I think.
Okay. One answer from both of you. Okay, Pete Coulson asks, now really, guys, you've been so negative. I don't think we have been negative, to be honest with Pete. I just think we're just saying it the way we've seen it today. You know, it is going to be a long process for Emery. It's not going to change overnight. So, you know, it's just a fact of you've got to say what you see. And that's the whole point of what we do here. You can disagree with us or you can agree with us. It doesn't really matter. It's an opinion. But you've got to say what you see in the pitch today. But Pete asks, can you give me two positives from today's game? So one from each of you, John.
For me, it was Torreira when he came on. Just looked composed and straight into the flow of the game and passing, tackling, everything. Yeah, looked very comfortable.
Okay, cool. Dom?
Positive for me was more so the way that we went about the game and Emery changing things when things weren't working, or trying to at least. And what I noticed was that we would press really hard when they had the ball at the back. And if they got it to midfield, we'd kind of sit off a little bit. So it does seem like there's definitely a process being put in place to try and kind of put some teams under some pressure. And just so happens that Man City are just so good that they can pass through that. But we still caught them out a few times. You know, we're talking about a team, like John said, 3 years under Pep with that system, and we did cause them a few issues in our first game. So I'm looking forward to seeing what we can do against a team that potentially isn't as good as Man City.
Yeah, just quickly on that point, Jay, sorry, we're wrapping things up. But what Dom said there, I think, is really important. The fact that we did cause problems a couple of times, if this game is 3-4 months into the season where our team, you know, Arsenal, have learnt the system and know it better and are used to it, then those times when we caught City out, we maybe take advantage of it properly and go on and score a goal and cause real issues. I mean, I think you have to take all that in context, and then that's how you take the positives out of the game.
I agree with you. I also think, you know, if you paid £50 million for Lacazette, £50 million for Aubameyang, you've got Mkhitaryan, you've got Ozil, you've got Aaron Ramsey, you've got Granit Xhaka's £35 million the player. Finishing chances and having a go is expected. Do you know what I mean? We butchered some chances today, which I don't expect those guys to do. Do you know what I mean? Some of the performances out there today were putrid, you know. Ozil, you know, Jekyll and Hyde.
I think the difference was it was a few individuals who played badly rather than a system being the issue.
That's fair.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. People, you know,
I think there was a couple of things tactically he didn't get quite right. Like, I think there wasn't quite enough cover for the fullbacks and things like that. But it's very difficult to do that against Pep, because, like they were talking about in the commentary, the American commentary, the first 10 minutes of a game, he's looking for what he can exploit the most. And then he'll instantly change his team. They'll have their plan. And within 10 minutes, he's sent a message out and he's like, right now you're doing this. And he constantly changes it. So it's very, very difficult to play against that.
We weren't focused.
We had a real plan.
Yeah, we weren't obsessed with playing the ball and passing sideways for the sake of having ball at feet today. We only had 40% possession, and we were very much more focused on turning the ball over quickly and counter-attacking quickly. And in the chat box, people don't think that we had any change from last season, then I don't know what game you were watching.
I've got to be honest with you. If you look at two areas of the game, okay, which always annoy me, the way we tried to play out the defence was very reminiscent of last season, okay? Because, you know, we still didn't have that movement in the midfield. Guendouzi was putting the effort in. Xhaka wasn't. We didn't get the ball out efficiently. And why on earth do we always play free kicks backwards? I just don't get it. It's not positive. Just launch one for Aubameyang to stretch the defence at times, I think, you know. But that's being piddly, that is. I mean, I think the big positive is it's the start of a new reign, you know. The press looked impressive at times, but you know, in a few games' time, that will be far more effective. And that's, I'm looking forward to seeing that. I'll answer the next one. Jim Housen asks, why sign a keeper for big money then not play him? I think in pre-season, Cech won the spot. I think Cech looked really good in pre-season. Obviously, you know, that spot will be up for grabs going forward. I think it really will. But I think in all fairness...
I can see Leno coming in for the next game just on Cech's distribution today. I don't think Cech had a terrible game. I thought he was very... The saves he made were excellent.
A good save. Yeah.
He had a really, really good double save.
If we're going to be a team that plays from the back, you can't play Petr Cech. He's going to cause more problems than he's going to fix, unfortunately.
That's hard to argue with, you know. I mean, I think that's going to be a big thing because playing out from the back is as big a part as the saves, isn't it? You know, and it's what starts your
I don't want to cane Cech because he made some great saves. The double save in particular was fantastic. But his distribution on the ball was just not there. But again, you're playing against City, who are one of the best teams at pressing and winning the ball back high up the pitch in the league.
But there was one annoying point where I think he'd won it from, he'd taken it from a cross or a corner. I can't remember which. You know, back in the days of the Invincibles, you just had people launching themselves forward. And you know, Lehmann is distributing that ball. It's gone. You know what I mean? It's at the feet of the right back or the left back. It was,
that's a consistent team that's come from years and years of winning sides. Yeah, yeah. And that's what everybody, brought in, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. But everybody's just stood there today. Yeah. Everybody's just stood there, and there was no desire to get it out, which did annoy me. But there you go. Dom Arian Hidari asks, thoughts on the centre back partnership?
Too early to tell. You know, I've spoken about this before with you guys both on and off the show, that I'm a big believer in centre backs and partnerships. And when we've seen, you know, we saw Koscielny and Mertesacker complement each other really well when they had Szczesny behind them for, we go like 18 or 20 games unbeaten or something. We had a really good run before one of them got injured, or they, you know, their defensive record was just amazing and they just complemented each other so well. And then individually, we've seen them with other partners make some horrible clangers. So it's really too early to tell. I think it's going to take a good 10 games of those guys playing with each other to really get a bit more of an idea of if they're gelling and they're playing off each other and if they have that understanding.
Okay. John, I'm going to answer this next question because I don't get it. Tayo Adele asks, does Ramsey deserve a new contract? Yes, he does. He's the club's top scoring central midfielder. If he watched us last season, we played better when he was in the team. It's nonsense to think he doesn't. It's just lunacy. But there you go. You know, there's the question answered. You know, everybody keeps on having a go at the boy. He keeps on turning up. You know, who was leading the press today? He was.
Ramsey's one of those things, though, Jason. I feel like it's almost a Socrates thing with you, almost. If Socrates goes out and plays amazing every week, you're still going to go, oh, I don't know, I'm still not sure. Whereas Ramsey can do the same thing and put in 10 out of 10 performances, and he did for big patches of last year, and there are still people that are like, I just don't know, no. And then he'll score a goal and assist, and they'll still find criticism somewhere. It doesn't matter what the guy does.
He's been around
so long now that people have got it in for him, and they're not going to have their opinions changed, regardless of what the guy does.
I've got to be honest. If I was him, I'd say bog off to us and move. That's what I would do. Because, you know, if you're never going to get the love, what's the point? You know what I mean? You've got 3 10 goal-plus seasons. You've been the highest tackler in the team for one season. You know, you've played where I've been asked to, and still you're getting stick, and it just makes me laugh. But there you go. Onwards. Who's next? Dom. Peter P asks, where is the line? And Neil Vergale asks the same question. Where's the line when we bench Ozil?
That's a really, really good question. I don't think anything today warrants benching. I think he's the type of player that, I mean, today, if you look at some of the criticisms that, you know, you yourself were giving him last season, I feel like you've got to give him a bit of a nod today for putting in a lot more work. The criticism that I have of Ozil's game today is usually the stuff that he does in his sleep. So for whatever reason, if that disappears for too long, then I think it's worth considering a different creative outlet, because that's what you have him in there for. And you can ask him to do a bit more defensive work and to get around the pitch and position himself a bit more. There's no getting around that. But if he starts not being able to be creative in that role, then what is he bringing to the team is the question. And I don't think it was a lack of sort of trying today with the creative stuff. He was off. His touch was off. His passing was off. The movement just wasn't quite there. So, you know, if we see a trend of that happening, that concerns me more than the other part of his game.
Okay, that's fair enough. Right, time to give away a T-shirt and ram and get this thing done, okay? Everybody get ready. Question coming. First person to put the correct answer in the chat box wins. It's as simple as that, okay? First person, correct answer, chat box, you win it. You get your choice of colours, you get your choice of sizes, obviously, and we'll post it out to you. Here we go. How many league goals did Nacho Monreal score last season?
48.
How many league goals did Nacho Monreal score last season? Tick-tock, tick-tock,
tick-tock. More than Sanchez for United.
I love Nicky Wilson's preemptive John Hartson answer.
No. Peter P, you're wrong. Thomas from Norway, you're wrong.
Oh, God, it's gone mad.
You're wrong. Oh, stop. Here we go. We've got a winner. Oh, stop. Stop typing, you lot. Stop typing.
What's the answer, Jace?
What's the number, Jace? Because I don't know.
Arian Haidari gets it correct. Arian, Messi, 5 goals.
Oh, well done, Arian.
5 goals. Arian, message me to the pod account, please, and we'll sort this thing out. Well done, mate. Congratulations. And thank you for everybody who took part. That's superb. Neil Vergela. I say Anthony, 6,433. I like that. Congratulations, Arian.
Rudy saying he said 5 first.
Oh, let's go back up.
No.
Rudy, we're going to have a stewards inquiry.
No,
but I'm pretty
I've got Ariane, then Marquise. Yeah.
I've got Swiss Gooner and Marquise before Rudy and Ariane. By a landslide.
Yeah, Ariane is first.
Ariane's first. Rudy, it's a bit like your opinion on Rambo. You're wrong. Winner with a chicken dinner. Right, guys. We'll have a lineup next week for you for the Chelsea game, okay? As usual, thank you ever so much for taking part. You're fantastic, and we really appreciate it. It's Chelsea next week. Let's hope they'll work on the training pitch and we'll get some of those things right. And we go forward from there. Rudy, I love the fact that you do. I love the fact you hate me, Rudy. I love it. It's like beer. It's so good. Just to everyone, if you can like the YouTube page, click on the bell. You'll be notified of when we go live. I love you too, Rudy. You're top man. To all those who've listened on iTunes, thank you ever so much, or whatever platform it is. Really appreciate your support. I know it's been a difficult day, but that is the best team in the land. And there's lots of positives to look forward to. So onwards and upwards, onwards and upwards. Big thanks to Dom. Dom, thank you, mate.
Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it was a pleasure, mate. Big thanks to John. Well done, mate.
Cheers, Jace. Nice to have our little bromance across the internet back again.
Just the two of us.
It will be in a couple of weeks.
A big thank you to Chris Carpenter for pulling out last minute. You get Carpenter, you dirty pirate. I hope you lost today.
But yeah, that's the only time he pulls out last minute.
That's it, guys. that really is it. Thank you ever so much, guys. Always a pleasure. Take care of yourselves. Let's look forward to next week. Keep it Arsenal.